Hey, everybody. I'm flying blind. It's the Context Machine. It's episode 687. I'm gonna slide you these guidelines here in a second, Jeff. I'm Brian Chaffin. Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. And since I'm flying blind too, I'm just taking a shot in the dark here. I'm Jeff Gamet, and
I got you.
You can check us out. Oh, too late. Contextmachine.io. Go check us out there.
And you can use, assuming you still want to at this point, you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine, or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bluesky.social.
Yes. And hey, Brian, today we have a sponsor again, and it's MacPaw.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I like those folks. Yeah. We're going to tell you more about them in the show later.
Cool.
So apparently the guidelines don't help me much. Because
well,
words are hard, man. They got to go in order.
Do they really?
Well,
I mean, Yoda.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Some author friends of mine were recently debating. There's been a sort of common thing, I was going to say, especially in indie publishing, but the book that actually got us talking about this, which is a fantastic book. What is that? The book's called The Will of the Man. I'm going off on multiple tangents here. I'm reading a book called
I'm along for the ride. I buckled up.
The Will of the Many by James Islington, or Islington. I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's fantastic. It's a fantasy book. I haven't read any fantasy. I haven't read much fantasy in a while. And it's quite good. And I'm really enjoying the heck out of this book. But
I'll get a link and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, I will do that. I'll do the Apple Books link because.
Okay, cool.
Screw Amazon. Screw Spotify too.
Yeah, I'm with you on Spotify.
Anyway, The Will of the Many, great book, but the author, and it's really well written and it's well edited. I love that.
Awesome.
But he says he uses this phrase to quirk an eyebrow. So someone, you know, it's a first person book, and it would be I quirked an eyebrow at him, and
like doing the Spock eyebrow thing.
Well. Yes, except for quirk doesn't mean that. It's
right.
It's not a usage of that word. And so me and another pedant in our authors group were just dumb. And people shouldn't do that. I'm mad.
Were you mad enough to quirk an eyebrow?
No, I wasn't. Because that's not a thing. And another one of our author friends actually uses that phrase. And so she was kind of poking at us. But then I pointed out that this is the thing that pedants like me don't want to deal with. That when something is misused enough, it becomes proper.
Yeah, like irregardless. Just chafes me, but we have a living language and it's always evolving.
Yes, it is a living language. It is always evolving. And in particular, the rules that I cling to today were once variants.
That's true. So in a manner of speaking, you're a linguistic rebel.
Yeah, right. And so I am aware of this. I am trying to outgrow my pedantry. I'm trying. The one thing that I will probably always stick to my guns on is the importance of the Oxford comma, because it improves understanding, not the Oxford comma, because the Oxford comma is a rule. That is not my thing. The thing is that the Oxford comma improves understanding. And it can only improve understanding if it is consistently used.
I agree completely.
So yep. I am
an Oxford comma person too.
I will be a pedant. I will continue to be a pedant about the Oxford comma because it has a practical, its roots are practical. But on other things, I'm trying to stop being at least as much of a pedant.
How do you feel about punctuation outside the quotation mark?
Well, I keep punctuation inside the quotes. And
same.
I know it's a
transition outside. It's a thing that's happening.
It is a thing that's happening. Yeah. I will continue to do it correctly, and I will continue to obnoxiously call it correct. And but that is definitely a because it's the rule kind of clinging.
It is not for me. I am with you. That's how I want my punctuation to work. For me, it's a readability thing. It's much easier for me to visually see what punctuation is associated with various things when it's inside the quotation. When it's outside the quotation, it's just kind of floating and hanging out there. And it makes a sentence harder for me to visually parse.
Okay, that's interesting and fair. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, quirk and eyebrow. Quirk and eyebrow.
It is and throw that comma outside your quote.
I am seeing that a lot in a lot of indie stuff and but I've also seen it in this trad published book, The Will of the Many. He also, by the way, he has twice now talked about people scoffing food, which isn't a thing.
Well, it's
scarfing.
Oh, okay. That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
You meant
it's an interesting thing that didn't get corrected. But anyway, the book, I'm not bagging on Mr. Islington. It is a really well-written book. It is a terrific book. It is absolutely keeping me glued to the pages. I stayed up until 6 o'clock in the morning reading last night when I did not need to. I should have been asleep by four at the latest. And I love books that keep me reading.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I decided I'd do a quick search for quirk and eyebrow.
Yeah.
And so, okay, as of 8 days ago, Merriam-Webster calls it or defines it as an abrupt twist or curve, a peculiar trait, like an idiosyncrasy, an accident or vagary. So I suppose if you wanted to stretch it a little bit, quirking an eyebrow could be an abrupt curve in an eyebrow sort of thing. Mm, yeah.
It is only a matter of time before this gets added to the dictionary.
It's going to happen because I'm seeing going back several years, there are discussions about quirking an eyebrow.
Right. So anyway, it's coming and I will deal with it when it happens, but I will not.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone, today. It's been a great show.
Today's our show about Apple.
Believe it or not. Oh, right.
Believe it or not. Let's talk about, so Apple did this thing yesterday, right? This event.
Yeah. The awe dropping. And imagine my disappointment when it wasn't like teddy bears and kittens announcements, because I thought it was going to be aw dropping, and that's not what it was. It made me quirk my eyebrow.
Curses. Right. So Apple did the thing. Tim's right leg did that thing. And
it's okay. The thing with Tim's posture when he's talking, I will preface this with, if there is a physical issue that requires him to do that, then I'm going to feel really bad.
Oh, I'm going to help. If that's the case.
Well, save me a seat. But it's as if someone physically nailed his feet to the ground, mm-hmm. and he's bouncing in place. I mean, it's really distracting watching him do that feet planted, knee bend thing while he's talking all the time.
Right.
His leg seemed like it was ready to give out while he was doing it.
Yes. And he's a little bow-legged.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever. He's also Tim Cook, and so that,
and he's worth more than the two of us combined. Even
he's worth more than.
Can you believe I got that out with a straight face?
Than me times you to the us power combined.
Yes.
Right. So anyway, Apple, the AirPods, let's start with the AirPods Pro 3. It's new.
That's fair. That's what Tim started with.
Yep.
He bounced right into it. See, I will be in hell right beside you.
You did there.
While people walk past us and quirk their eyebrows and drop commas right outside their quotes.
Yes. The thing that I was most excited about was the live translations, although I also heard that that's going to be retroactively added to AirPods Pro 2. Is that correct?
That's what I heard. So it's not in my mind, because I like making my own headcanon. It isn't so much about it's an AirPods Pro 3 feature. It's
an AirPods Pro OS update.
There we go. AirPods Pro OS update in conjunction with iOS 26 update.
Right. And so
I think it's more software than hardware.
That's fair. And I think it's remarkable. So from the speed standpoint of doing near
real-time?
Real-time, yeah, it's real-time translations, but and it effectively, for all intents and purposes, it is real-time, except for that it will sometimes be delaying a translation to make sure that it's hearing the entire phrase. That was my understanding of what they were doing, because they're not just doing word-for-word translation. They're also trying...
So it's contextual translation.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And good. So by definition, that can't be real time.
Yeah, true.
Okay. So super fun and super impressive. What's even more exciting is the ability to hear the translation from another language and then speak your response and have that translated on your phone for them to read.
That part we could already do.
Oh. Huh. All right. Well, yeah, screw this thing.
Yeah. Why'd they even have the stupid event?
I didn't realize that was already a thing.
Yeah. But okay, but that the fact that you keyed in on it this time underscores a problem we have with Apple in general, which is explaining features and giving us transparency, not like liquid glass, but like actual transparency in features. So they're easy to find, understand, and use.
Right. That's fair. And so then they're doing the foam inserts.
Yes, that makes me very happy, because the kind of rubbery inserts, I know they work for a lot of people, but every time I've gotten new AirPods or ear pods over the years, I end up getting foam tip replacements for them. Mm. Like, you know, like the Westone, the good foam right. ones.
Right.
Yeah. And without those, I would have given up on Apple's in-ear listening solutions years ago because I just could not keep them in my ears.
And they specifically said that they've tried out, they've been working with like 10,000 sets of ears.
Yeah, but they've worked with a metric, I almost said buttload, I guess headload of
ears. Wouldn't want you to say buttload.
Over the years. Right. Wouldn't want that.
Wouldn't. Yeah. That would be, that'd be right out.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's nothing new in and of itself. However, the fact that they actually do this, you know, spend or put that much effort into studying human ear design, anatomy, that's good because in the end, if they do it right, we get a better product for it.
Yeah. Right. And so the other major, two other major improvements, more battery life, basically like essentially it's a third more sick. They went from 6 to 8 hours. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
And they've got better active noise cancellation. They threw out a couple of metrics. I frankly felt that the noise cancellation from AirPods Pro 2 was pretty good. So more would be great. But I don't feel like the AirPods Pro 3 is a must upgrade for anyone who certainly has AirPods Pro 2. Unless
I will go a step farther.
I know you are. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter which version of AirPods Pro you have. If it's still working for you, I don't see a need to upgrade. Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. Well, from one to two or one to three would make sense for anyone who needs the translation feature.
Yeah. Yes. And if you have the version one AirPods Pro and you feel like they're lacking in audio quality, they did redesign the air channels in AirPods Pro 3. So you will have for lack of a better word right now, better dynamic range.
Right. So I think we can even, I think I want to revisit my statement. AirPods Pro 3 will be an improvement for anyone. But to Jeff's point, if the AirPods Pros that you have work for you, you're fine. You don't yes. need them.
And one thing to be aware of, which I didn't realize until later after the event, there is no charging cable in the package. When you buy AirPods Pro 3, it's the AirPods in a charger case and nothing else.
Yeah, okay. I don't have a problem with that because I've got too many cables as it is, but I could see someone being
sure.
upset about that.
They're welcome. Yeah, at this point, we're far. Yeah, sure. But yeah, we're far enough into the everything's USB-C transition that not including a cable isn't a deal breaker.
Yeah.
At this point, telling people about it to me is more of a PSA, just so they're aware.
And not for nothing, but especially with tariff nonsense from the current administration. Being able to hold the price of these devices is worth it from, you know, not getting a cable that I don't need. If that's helping keep the price down, giddy up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Apple has done a surprisingly good job this year of being able to avoid a tariff sting for customers.
Yes, I feel like they've clearly been working overtime to try to minimize that, for good or for ill.
Yeah.
So anyway, AirPods Pro 3, it's they're terrific. Again, if your AirPods or your earphones work for you, keep them, use them.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Apple Watch.
Yeah. So there's the 11.
Yes.
And I did some real fast looking. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a hard time telling the 10 and the 11 apart.
Right. I unless you want the hypertension
right
monitoring, which, hello, I had a stroke, largely
due
to hypertension. Anyway, this would have helped me a couple of years ago. That's an important feature, but unless you need that, if you've got a 9 or a 10, maybe even an 8, and you like it, that's an important thing. You can skip the 11. You can wait till the 12, 13.
Yeah, and does the Series 10 actually? You know what? Do you have? Well, wait. You're using an Ultra.
Yeah, I've got the Ultra too.
Okay, then you don't need to upgrade. You get the hypertension feature.
Well, that's good, because I ordered my 3 last night.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to have fun with your 3, because now you have 5G support.
Specifically for the hypertension monitoring. I didn't.
Damn.
Didn't realize that was going to be retroactively added to the 2.
Yeah. So definitely on the 2, on the 10, I think on the 9 as well.
No. Really?
I think, but definitely on the 10.
Will Apple bring hypertension monitoring to Apple Watch 9?
We're making some sausage right
here. Yes, right here. Yes, hypertension. This is from Google's AI overview. Yes, hypertension notifications will be available for Apple Watch Series 9 and later models, including the Apple Watch Ultra 2.
Okay.
Huh. That's all right. That's I'm a little impressed.
Yeah, it's, you know, there are all these memes I see online where it's like people think the Mac and PC wars are still going on. Mm-hmm. And so they have all these meme jokes about Apple. By the time a product is released, it's already out of date and not supported, which is absolutely insane, because can't be farther from the truth.
Yes. Agreed.
And here, this is a perfect example of that.
What is?
The hypertension feature. You do the software update on a Series 9 and you've got it.
Right. Well, once Apple still needs FDA approval for that.
Oh, I missed that part. Okay. Yeah,
and they said they were expecting to get it any day now. They didn't use those words, but they basically said that the FDA approval was moving along.
Okay. So maybe by the end of the year, and if not, then by spring. And the only reason I push it out potentially that long is because we are dealing with federal government processes,
yes,
which can be slow.
And a federal government that has been hijacked for political purposes on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, the three is lovely. The
Ultra Three?
The Ultra Three, yes, is lovely. I, despite the fact that I've already upgraded or have already put in my order for the upgrade, if you've got a two, you're probably fine.
Yeah. It's okay. The thing that I see as a potential seller for people who have a two, but feel like they need to go to a three, it's a two prong thing: 5G support,
yeah,
the new 5G support,
yep,
and the longer battery, longer battery life,
yeah. I felt like there were a couple of other outdoor doing things features that were pretty compelling.
Yeah, I think so, but I don't remember.
But I don't do things. So those didn't matter to me. I mean, I really like the Ultra form factor. And I like the infographic watch face that only comes with the Ultra.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the infographic watch faces, but I appreciate why they're such a big thing for the people that that like it.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's Apple also introduced the SE3. I have zero interest in the SE3.
Yeah, same.
It effectively,
I appreciate it's there for the price point
existing as soon as they moved on from it, and until we were pulling up URLs during our prep for the show. It's like, oh yeah, but golly, we should mention that.
Yeah.
It
hits a price point.
The price point is terrific. And in particular, so Jeff and I were talking, and we were basically trying to imagine who would want the SE3. And I think the answer is, there are two answers that spring immediately to mind. Getting an Apple Watch for your kid, and also for people who don't care about all the crap that we care about. There are a lot of people who don't care about the crap that we care about.
That's actually most people.
Yeah. Oh, right. Also most people. So, it is an inexpensive entry into the smartwatch world. So giddy up.
Yeah. All right.
And as far as the Apple Watch 11 goes, again, if you like your current Apple Watch, I don't feel like anyone should feel the need to upgrade here. But if you want to, or if you can, and you want to, it will be a fine upgrade.
Yeah. This seems like the watch for people that had been holding out with their Series 8 or early Series 9, Series 8 or early Series 9, because they didn't want to give up the oxygen sensor feature.
Yeah.
And of course, we did get that back just recently as a software thing.
Yes.
But since that's a thing on the 11, and you get the hypertension thing, and your battery is probably wearing out on your 8 or 9, and there are several things that have happened where I could see where this is the year where 8 and 9 owners say, okay, I feel comfortable pulling the trigger on a new model now.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Before we talk about our sponsor, I want to talk about our Kickstarter. Do you mind? This is my Kickstarter with the same above mentioned author pals.
I would actually love to hear about the Kickstarter. Please. Oh,
thank you. You're so good at that. So we have, so my friends and I have a Kickstarter for an anthology of short stories. It's called Neosynthesis, all one word, Neosynthesis. We'll have a link in the show notes. And basically it's six authors came together to write 12 short stories. Our tagline is 12 stories of code, consciousness, and survival. So we're dealing with themes like the emergence of artificial intelligence, the point at which human consciousness can intersect with artificial intelligence eventually. That's the kind of stuff we're writing about. My two stories fill in some background for Mason Truman's world. That's the from my novel Accidental Intelligence, and we have hit our goal. So if you want to sponsor us, it's because you want to get the book, there is a hardback option that is only available from the Kickstarter. And there's another 2.5 weeks left to go on this thing.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. So the Kickstarter is live right now?
Yes, it is live now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's there. Cool. There are tiers for getting an ebook, getting a paperback, getting several ebooks from several of the authors, and also the hardback option, which again will be an exclusive to Kickstarter.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, thanks. So tell us about our sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Well, our sponsor is MacPaws Clean My Mac. And I'm going to make it even more focused than that because we're going to talk about the cloud cleanup feature in Clean My Mac. So the deal is we've already had a great tool for cleaning up finding all the places on our Macs where we need to clean stuff up, get rid of the extra files, whatever that we don't need. Now we can do that with our cloud services. So it supports iCloud, OneDrive, and Google Drive right now, and it goes through the services, figures out where you've got all that extra bloat with file storage where maybe you're running out of space and you need to figure out what you can clean out. This is going to help you do that. So you can do a quick cleanup and get yourself like gigabytes of free space back. And that's super helpful, you know, when you're running out of your cloud storage space. So here's what to do. You need to, as they like to say, get tidy today. And I like how that rolls off my tongue. So try it for 7 days free and use our discount code for 20% off. Okay, so here's what you need to do. To get tidy today, you need to try for 7 days free, use our code ContextMachine. And that'll get you 20% off of Clean My Mac and the cloud cleanup feature. Just go to clnmy, it's like clnmy.com/thecontextmachine. Use that discount code ContextMachine for 20% off and try out cloud cleanup so you can clean up all those files on your cloud storage just like you're doing on your Mac. And thank you, MacPaw, for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you, MacPaw. Love those guys.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. All right, let's talk about the iPhone, too, because that would be the third.
Yeah.
The third leg of the show, right?
Yeah.
So,
on our three-legged show.
I want to jump straight to the fact that I felt like the 17 Pro was practically given, there's the word I'm looking for. It was given short shrift, but it was basically mm-hmm. like an afterthought almost.
Well, I have a hypothesis on that.
Okay.
And my hypothesis is that for most people, the big improvements on the iPhone 17 Pro don't really matter. It's not going to be as those aren't going to be selling things. There were two tangible things that they could point to, and that's basically what they covered. And it was the new cameras and the improved battery life. And everything else is just like, hey, here's this other cool stuff that goes along with the phone.
Right. We usually get an in-depth look at the amazing speed of the processor. And we got across the entire product line, they did not spend a lot of time talking about the processor. They talked about it a little bit, but it was not the kind of time that they have normally dedicated to that topic.
True, but they also gave us a new product in the lineup, and I think that they felt they needed to devote most of their iPhone discussion time to that.
Are you talking about the iPhone Budgie Smuggler?
Yeah, that's the one.
Right, so we're talking about the iPhone Air, which is super thin and has the lens poking out far enough to be curious about whether or not it's happy to see us, or if it's a lens.
It is. Well, it can be both.
It. Yeah. Take that, Freud.
Yeah. You know, when they showed the insides of the Air, iPhone Air, it looked like pretty much the phone parts, the whole computer, whatever, fits in where the big bump is on the phone, and the rest of it's just a battery.
Yeah, that could be. It's an interesting form factor. I'll be interested to see if it takes off. It's not a form factor that particularly interests me, in part because I keep my phone in my pocket all the time, and I'd be worried about bending that one.
I'd be worried about bending it too. We're not the target market for that.
Right. Exactly. We're not. That is okay, by the way.
Yeah.
This is not a situation where we don't like it and therefore it's stupid and it's going to be a failure. I imagine it'll probably... The Air product line has usually become Apple's most popular product I think really in every segment, right? I know iPad Air outsells iPad and iPad Pro. At least I assume that iPad Air outsells iPad and iPad Pro. And I'm pretty sure that MacBook Air is well outselling MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's well, when you look at the bang for the buck, if you will, mm-hmm. In the existing Air lines, they're really good values for your money.
Yeah, for sure. For absolute sure.
So based on what they showed us with the 17 Air for the phone, I feel like this is going to fall into that same description. So yeah, you get a lot for the $999 at this cost.
Right.
So I think it's going to be enticing to a lot of people.
Yep.
I think your overall best value for buying a new iPhone is iPhone 17, not Air, not Pro.
Wait, say that again. What was the? I heard the conclusion.
The best value for your money with the new iPhone is iPhone 17, not Air and not Pro.
Huh. Okay. All right, I'll take that.
Look at the features you get for what you get. I mean, there's a lot of people that buy the Pro phones simply because it's Pro, but all the features that they really need are in the standard 17. And it was the same with the 16. They're excellent phones.
Yes.
You know, I need to stop calling them phones because Apple doesn't make phones anymore. They have a product called iPhone, but it doesn't describe what it is. It's a very powerful pocket computer that also has a wireless telephone feature. It stopped being a phone first a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, I would say that Steve wanted it to be three things.
He did, but he made a point of saying it has to be a phone first.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right.
And
he was right at that time, and is it now no longer applies. The transition, especially for younger people, has been made to it being a computing device.
Yeah, and in many cases, the only computing device.
Right. Right. So I was also thinking that it's possible that the introduction of iOS 26, the official introduction, as opposed to the WWDC introduction, the introduction to consumers.
Yeah.
That will be taking place.
You mean like the official release that comes on September 15th?
Yes. Okay. Oh, wait. So we're not getting another media event, are we? Oh, that's super interesting, man. They hardly even mentioned iOS 26. I was operating like that entire event. I was operating under the premise that they would be doing a separate iOS 26 and iPad OS 26 and Apple Watch 26 event.
No.
Huh. Huh.
Yeah, they gave us our iOS, iPad OS, everything OS 26 event at WWDC, and that's it. This is just a hardware event.
Interesting. All right, so I'm back to a little confused as to why they gave the 17 Pro set short shrift, but you know, whatever.
By the way, the 17 Air.
I suspect that the orange 17 Air will be the best selling version.
I think the orange color is going to be very popular.
Yep.
Yep. I'm with you.
I wouldn't have that. But again, it's not.
Yeah. Well,
it's not for us. All right, so are you going to
see where that would be handy, like if you drop your phone in the snow?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Are you going to get a, a naked iPhone, man? Well, you got a naked iPhone in the snow?
Well, I don't. But who am I to judge?
I mean, and having a naked phone on the phone, I don't know, man. That sounds risky. So are you going to, what are you on now?
I'm still on my 12 Pro.
You're still on your 12.
I know.
Did they have color TV back then?
No. Did you know there's actually a pop-open slot on the iPhone 12 Pro where I put the coal in?
Oh, wow. I mean, you'd have to, right?
Right. I mean, there was no automated system for getting it in.
Are you going to upgrade to anything?
Yeah, I believe this is the year where it's finally time.
Okay, well, what will you get?
Well,
keep in mind, man, you've got a lot of mountains to photograph.
I know. And so what the phone that's right for me is an iPhone 17 Pro.
Yeah.
Because I do a lot. Well, I do all my photography with my iPhone.
Yeah.
And
you should be able to get a nickel 95 in trade-in value for your 12 Pro.
I should be able to get a nickel trade-in. There's basically no trade-in value on an iPhone 12 Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though mine's in pristine condition.
Sure. So will you get the 17 Pro?
That's what I'm looking at. Not a Max.
Yeah.
Definitely not an Air.
Yeah.
What I've noticed is that when it stopped being essential that I have the new phone each year so that I can write and talk about it right away, I immediately lost the compulsion to get the new model all the time.
Yeah. Same.
And,
same.
Yeah.
I still got a little bit of a compulsion because I definitely have a little bit. I've got that FOMO, got to have it thing.
You know, when the 13 came out, I had a little bit of FOMO, not for long, and not with the 14, 15. With the cameras on the 16, I was like, that's kind of tempting. But I was surprised it wasn't tempting enough.
Right.
So but with the 17,
the 17 Pro, the cameras on the 17 Pro are outstanding. We have not even mentioned the significant upgrade to the front-facing camera on all these devices. It's a very significant update. It is a significant update in particular for people who do, for influencers, for people who do, not even for influencers, for people who take a lot of selfies or film a lot of selfie-oriented content.
You know, another place where that improved camera comes in handy, you remember when Apple introduced that Final Cut app that lets you record with the front and rear-facing camera simultaneously?
Yes.
This really makes that app even more useful because you're getting so much better quality off the front-facing camera.
I feel like they could have mentioned that during this event. They didn't.
No, they showed it, but they didn't talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you're going to get a 17 Pro is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I did consider the 17, but I've come to realize that since I don't have that compulsion to buy a new iPhone every year, I will hold on to the 17 for a few years and then upgrade.
Yeah.
So get the cameras that are actually going to do what I want. If it was just like 1 year, I didn't have the cameras that I wanted, but they still work fine. That's one thing. But a multi-year commitment, I need the right cameras.
Right. Right. That makes sense. I'm on a 15 Pro. I didn't upgrade last year. I will probably not upgrade this year. And that's reasonable. I don't want to. I would like the 17 Pro because shiny.
Sure.
But I am going to save the money and keep my iPhone for probably another year at least.
Well, and you're buying a new Apple Watch
right
this year.
Right. And for me, for my very specific little take on the world, the one thing that I need my phone for that would make getting any new iPhone a reasonable thing is for photography. I think we talked about this. I use my iPad the way most people use their phone. And that's largely because I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything. So I'm usually on my iPad and I'm not on my iPhone. So I don't really care about the processing abilities on the iPhone. I don't play any games on my iPhone. I do all that stuff on my iPad. But when it comes to taking pictures, mm-hmm. I've got my iPhone in my hand. So for that reason, I would like a 17 Pro. But I'm going to save the money this year.
And you have really good cameras in your iPhone 15 Pro.
Exactly. And, it's interesting. So part of it is definitely us getting older. Part of it is us not being in the daily Mac news beat. But also, the reality is that Apple's been doing this a long time.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that complain about Apple is just giving us these minor iterative improvements year over year on the phones. And I can appreciate their frustration. But the thing is, once we had the initial innovation and we got through the first few years while everything was really coming together, after that, it's been a very stable thing. And it's not just iPhones. It's smartphones across the board.
Yeah.
So we're not at a point anymore where we're going to get these crazy massive improvements until there's some incredible technology shift where the iPhone or smartphone, as we see it today, changes.
Yeah.
Just like when we went from what my air quotes smartphones were to what the iPhone was, and then everything followed.
Right.
I think that's still a long way off.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. I think we should probably call it there. So I'm going to do this. And then I'll say that's it for the Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And that's all for this week, Jeff.
That's awesome. I want to add, though, that everyone should go try 7 days of Clean My Mac and their cloud cleanup feature for free by using the code Context Machine to get 20% off. Also at clnmy.com, cleanmy.com/thecontextmachine. And thank you, MacPuff, for being our sponsor.
Yes, thank you very much.